self, speak it, say it. All of these through, now I'm going to read down through verse number 11. All these are the words of Christ. In the red letter editions, they're all highlighted in red. So let's read them together, starting at verse 7. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Now, if we stopped right there and believed that, if we just believed it, amen. I tell you what, it'd make Bible readers out of us between now and Wednesday night. We'd try to at least read all four of the Gospels before Wednesday night service. If we really believed what it said right here, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Let's read verse number 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Verse number 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Hallelujah. How many would agree with me tonight that if his joy remains in us, our joy will be full? Hallelujah. These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. I want to use for a title this evening, Strength in Joy. Strength in Joy. Jesus is giving his disciples a lesson about the source of the produce that one would expect to find in a vineyard. If a vineyard is going to produce grapes, it's not just going to on its own be a cluster of grapes hanging somewhere on that vine. It has to be a part of the vine, the source of that produce that is going to come to the fullness of its time has to be connected to the source. Jesus said that ye are the branches. I am the vine and ye are the branches. He says that in that 15th chapter. Praise God. He tells them, I'm the vine and you're the branches. In some previous chapters here, Christ has begun to prepare his people. He's begun to prepare his disciples for his coming departure. He knows what's going to happen. He's going to fulfill what God had sent him into the world to do. He has spent time with these disciples. He spent quality time with them. He has lived with them. They have lived with him. They have walked together. They've ate together. They've slept together. I believe that the disciples, would you agree with me, that the disciples had come to learn to trust Jesus. He was their source. If he was around, they were happy. If he was around, their joy was full. If he was with them, miracles would take place. If he was with them and they needed something to eat, he would turn five loaves of and two small fishes in enough to feed 5,000 men. If they needed something to drink, he could turn water into wine. Praise God. Whatever they needed, he was their source. And so he's telling them, he's acknowledging to them that my joy, I want my joy, you're filled with joy when I'm with you. You're filled with joy when I'm around you. And I want that joy to remain in you. He's telling them, I'm going to leave you. I'm not going to always be with you like I am right now. And I would like for your joy to be full. Amen. I want that joy to remain in you and that your joy might be full. So he has to get them to understand, even though he's not going to be in their sight, They may not be able to reach out and touch Him. They may not have that close fellowship that they have enjoyed under this time, but their joy can, His joy can remain in them, and their joy may be full. Hallelujah. In some previous chapters, Christ has prepared them for His coming days in the near future, that He's going to be leaving. Much of the book of St. John takes place in just a period of time of a week. So much of what you read in the book of St. John happens in a very short period of time. Even though we read sometimes the chapters in it may take us a little longer, and we have a tendency to sort of stretch it out. But it's all happening in a short period of time. And so He's telling them and preparing them, I'm going to leave, I'm going to be taken away, but your joy can remain, praise God, because you know Me and I'm going to be in you, that your joy may remain, praise God. He tells them in 15 and 11, amen, of St. John, amen, hallelujah, I'm going to need more, I'm going to leave you, but my desire is for you that my joy remain in you and that your joy may be full. Hallelujah. Christ also attributes of this particular fruit, the attribute of this particular fruit of the Spirit, and joy is a fruit of the Spirit. One of the attributes is strength. Praise God. Joy, there's strength in joy. Hallelujah. How many of you feel like you could use a little more strength? How many feel like you could use a little bit more of the strength of God to do exploits and to do things that He's called you to do? Amen. Joy is like spiritual petroleum in your spiritual tank. If you're low on joy, you're going to be low on strength. Praise God. But if you're filled with joy, you're going to be strong in the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Have you ever felt like that you just run out of gas and you just feel like you know that there's something to do and you know there's a task that needs to be done, but you just feel like you've run out of steam. You've just run out of strength. You're not able to accomplish. I know everybody that's in ministry at times feels that pressure. Amen. We cannot in ministry give what we do not have. You'll run out of gas. You'll run out of strength. You'll run out of stamina trying to help people all around you that need help, and it will take it out of you. And unless you are connected to the vine, amen, even though you may feel like you're full right now, something is going to take that out of you. When you minister to people, when you preach to people, when you sing to people, whatever you do, you have to give something, and you give it out and others receive it. And unless you fill that back up, you yourself, even though you've had a good experience, even though you've had good words to offer in the past, you'll realize I don't have what I need even to sustain your own self. Amen. We have to be filled with the joy of the Lord. Hallelujah. When we run out of gas spiritually, that simply is telling us there is something wrong with your level of joy. Hallelujah. May I read you some scriptures? Nehemiah chapter number 8 and verse number 9. Nehemiah and Nehemiah, which is the Tirshathai, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy unto the Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Hallelujah. So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, "Hold your peace, for the day is holy, neither be ye grieved." And all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great mirth, because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. Praise God. Amen. And Nehemiah realizes that he sees it. He has a grasp on it. I know, and you know, if you read the Bible and study the Old Testament, the children of Israel have been carried away captive. They had spent about 70 years in captivity. This is the same captivity that Daniel and the three Hebrew children were in. But God fulfilled that time, and He brought His people back. Praise God. We get excited about reading and preaching and talking about Nehemiah when he returned with a zeal for the Lord and for his city and for his nation. And he built back that wall and he put those gates back in place. Oh, thank you, Jesus. It was a wonderful time. Amen. This is what we're reading now that had taken place. The walls were built. The city had been restored. The adversaries had been shut out. Amen. But all of that alone was not good enough. They still needed to reinstitute the ceremonial law, amen, that had been called for in the Word of God. Amen. There are numbers. I can't remember the exact number right now, but there are numbers. If you talk to a practicing Jew, they could tell you right now, now off the top of their head, how many commandments that they cannot keep. Right now, they cannot keep a multitude of the commandments because they do not have a temple. There are some commandments they can only keep in the presence of the temple. And when they have a period of time that they don't have a temple, there are some commandments that it is impossible for them to keep. Praise God. But now the temple worship is being restored, and they found the book of the law. Praise God. Oh, I'd like to preach in here tonight. I'm telling you, these folks got so beside themselves. They got so emotional, even while the priests were just reading the scriptures. My God, I wish sometimes we could get such a yearning and a love for God's word that we would become emotional just when the Word of God is read. Help me to preach in here tonight, Lord. I really think a lot of times we have emphasized so much preaching and emphasized so much singing that somehow reading the Word of God to many professing Christians is nothing more than just some words on a page, and they have to force themselves to do it, and they have to make themselves read it. But if you go through a dry spell and a dry stretch where you don't have the Word of God and you can't keep some of the commandments, praise God, when the law was restored and the chapel was restored or the temple was restored and they heard those priests, amen, it's only something they had heard about. It's only something they had heard their forefathers talk about in the past. But now here they are in the house of God, hearing the words of the law read from a book. I figure it was pretty dry. I figure it was pretty humdrum. I figure it was pretty monotonous. Hour after hour after hour of a priest and a scribe reading. But the power in the Word of God, in the commandments, moved the emotions of the people till they begin to weep and to cry out and mourn. Amen. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I'm glad it touched them that way. I'm glad God was able to get through and help them realize how wonderful it was for the ceremonial law to be restored. Amen. The worship is being reinstituted. But Nehemiah come along and saw him. And he said, today, amen, I know he's glad. And I'm glad the word of God's having an effect. And you'll never have any joy in your life until the word of God can move you and affect you in your heart and your emotions. But Nehemiah said, that's enough of this. Amen, I realize it's moving your emotions. But today is not a day of mourning. Today is a day of joy. Today is a day of rejoicing. Amen. Eat the fat and drink the sweet and send portions to your neighbors that don't have anything. Amen. We got to turn this environment. We got to turn this weeping and this mourning into a time of praise and worship and give God some praise because He has delivered us. Hallelujah. Amen. Do I have a worshiping church tonight? Amen. Would somebody take some time to give God some praise in here tonight? Try to imagine what it would have been like after all of those years. Amen. The word of God's moving you and it's touching you. And a great man like Nehemiah comes along and says, saints, dry your tears. It's time to rejoice. It's time to look around where you are and what you have and all the good things God's done in your life and praise Him for what He's done. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. Hallelujah. Praise God. So Nehemiah realized the mood needs to change. Sometimes we just need to change our mood a little bit and realize that God also, there's times for mourning. We are to weep with them that weep, and we're to rejoice with them that rejoice. Praise God. You can't always be broken. You can't always be under a heavy load. And let me tell you something. I just want you to know right now, there are some people I'm preaching to right now that are in the trial of their life, and they're going through hard places. They don't know how it's going to come out. They don't know how it's all going to turn out. And at the same time, somebody else is praising God because they're about to get the job that they prayed for. Hallelujah. And we rejoice with them when God's doing something in their life, and we mourn with somebody else that's going through a hard time. Amen. Come on, saints of God. But there ought to be a time, at least sometime in every service, when our heart is lifted up in praise and we can say, thank God for what You're doing in my life. Send a portion. If you're going through something good and you're enjoying the blessings of God, send a portion of prayer over to that one that's going through the hard time of their life. Because there may be another time when things is going better for them. You may be going through a hard place. And you may need to send a portion over to them. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I need to hurry. Isaiah chapter 12. I really need to get on down where I feel like I want to preach to you tonight. Isaiah chapter 12, verse 1. I'll try to read fast. Amen. Isaiah 12 and 1. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. And though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Let me help somebody here tonight. God's not going to be angry with you forever. Amen. God, you can't make God stop loving you. Amen. No matter what you do, no matter what's happening in your life, amen, right in the midst of that, you've got to turn away from some of those things. Amen. Thine anger is turned away. Thou comfortest me. Praise God. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. Thank God. Hear the promises tonight. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. Hallelujah. He also is become my salvation. Here's a very familiar verse. Verse number 3. Therefore with joy. Hallelujah. Somebody preach with me tonight. Why don't you say it with joy? Therefore with joy. Amen. You don't understand, preacher. I'm going through a trial. He said, therefore with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. Amen. How are you going to have strength to survive the trial if you don't have any joy? You got to have strength to draw. You got to have water to live. It all works together like the branches and the vine. Amen. There's a source, and the source of your strength is the joy of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. You'll draw waters out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall you say, praise the Lord. Call upon His name. Declare His doings among the people. Make mention that His name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for He hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Amen. I'll give you some time if you want to do it. Amen. There's times, there's certain passages in the Word of God. I think when we read it and we hear it read, we ought to just join in that part and say, Lord, you are great. Your glory fills the earth. I give you praise right now. I lift up your name. You're the Holy One of Israel. And you know what? When you do that, even though you're in the trial of your life, I believe God right here in this service can give you strength to endure your trial. Oh, somebody give Him praise. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water. Amen. Woo! Boy, we'd have been in trouble if the only water we could get, Brother Kim, was that one we hit when we got saved. We really hit a well when we got saved. And we just always have to go back. But I'm telling you, I find as I walk with Him, Brother Troy, there's wells. I didn't know that one was there. I didn't know that one was over that hilltop. I didn't know that one was around the corner here. But it's a well of salvation. I need something to drink right now. Amen. I need some joy right now. Amen. And I may be so far from where I was the last time that I can't make it back. Come on now, church. You may not be able to go back to that camp meeting you got saved in. You may not be able to go back to that revival you got the Holy Ghost in. But praise God. With me, church, there are wells of salvation, multiple wells, multiple services where God fills us over and over again. Can you say amen? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Could we just take another moment and praise Him? I'm going to have to make a change right here. Oh, hallelujah. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Strength and joy, praise God. Hallelujah. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water from the wells, plural, of salvation. I must have water to live. However, we must have strength to draw water. Now, here's where joy comes in. Remember John chapter 15, where we started. Jesus is trying to prepare them for what's coming. Jesus knows if they are to survive, they are going to need a full tank of joy. Can I put it that way? Remember, He said that my joy may remain in you, that your joy may be full. Somebody say full. Amen. That's not, you know, when it's full, it's not halfway full. It's not three quarters of the way full. Amen. Yeah, I don't understand. I never did really understand. My mom and dad used to do it all the time. But in my adult life, I never did do it. But they would do it. I've went inside that service station many times with $2. Because mom would say it's the way we done it in those days. They pulled up. I can't remember, Brother Arnold, you may remember that service station there right on the other side of the 412 on the right. I forgot that man's name. Had that service station there for so many years. And I think there's a, I don't know, that's not important. Help me, Lord, and not get off on those rabbit trails. We got gas there a lot of times. Mom would say, take this $2 in, tell them you want $2 worth and you want a cash ticket. How many remember those days? That's the old people. That's old people talking in it. Now we go up there and we put our, you know, put our card in there. You know, you could go a little ways. Gas is about 25, 27 cents a gallon. You'd go pretty good ways on $2. But you know what? It doesn't cost any more. Somebody hear me preach tonight. It don't cost any more to fill it up. Just go. And matter of fact, it's going to cost you more time while you're stopped. Go ahead and fill up. Oh, man, I'm starting to feel kind of scary right now. Brothers, any of y'all have wives that ever drive the car home on empty? We're not calling any names here tonight. Come on now, somebody say oh, amen or oh me or something. Yeah. I never even looked at it. Amen. Oh, come on now. We kind of laugh about things like that. But with far more important things in our life, too much of the time, we run too far on the low side. Amen. You know, a lot of times I go fill up on Saturday evening, kind of part of my routine thing. I may have a half a tank, but I'll go fill up again because there's been too many times in ministry I've got that call in the middle of the night. Or I got that call when I needed to go somewhere. And when you're needing to go and go right then, it's aggravating. I have to stop, get fuel. I feel the Holy Ghost trying to work in here tonight. So many times, Sister Helen, people, they all of a sudden they hit that unexpected trial and they look down and, oh man, my joy is a little bit low. What am I going to do now? Call the preacher. Call the evangelist. Call the Sunday school teacher. Amen. You know, I may not get this exactly right, but I heard a preacher say this here a while back, and I thought it was so good, I'm going to remember that. And I do too, and I'm not being disrespectful. I know you love me and you have confidence in me. But I have so many people, Brother Darren, that says, pray for me. Pray for me. And if the Lord tells you something that you can tell me, you pass it on. You know, and you pray, and sometimes I honestly, I say, I will pray for you. And then I see that person another time and I remember. I told them I'd pray for them. But I forgot. This preacher had one of those kind of encounters. Pray for me. If the Lord shows you something, you can tell me. He said, I just said back to him, the Lord just spoke to me and said that he'll tell you. Amen. He'd rather tell you than tell me to tell you. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Why? He wants you to remain in him. Woo, hallelujah. Oh, somebody say thank you, Jesus, in this house tonight. Amen. So that your joy may be full. Amen. Amen. Jesus knows if they're going to survive, they're going to need a full tank of joy. He also knows that they're going to need a renewable source. You cannot make it all the way to heaven with just what you got the day or the night you got saved, because trials and tribulations will take it out of you. Oh, thank you, Lord. We had a wonderful fellowship meeting 2 weeks ago, didn't we? Man, the preaching and the teaching and the altar services were wonderful. We even had a testimony tonight. I'll tell you what, since then, I've already encountered the enemy in some ways that I've needed some more. A refill. I need to draw. Now go with me to that upper chamber. Maybe I won't be preaching too much longer here. I hope not. That upper chamber where Christ and his disciples are to eat the Passover. By this time, a lot of things have already happened. That's beginning to take its toll. Are y'all with me? It's beginning to take its toll on the joy level of the disciples. Amen. I don't want to call anybody out. I don't want to make anybody feel bad. But honestly, and I do pray for you, and I pray for you by name when God brings it to my mind. But I do not know, with not any more joy than I see you display in church, I do not know how you're living in this same world that I'm living in. Either you and the devil have a compact where he's not bothering you too much. Or I sadly fear, my brother and sister, you are running. Oh, Holy Ghost, help me to preach in here tonight. You're running too low on the low side. Too far on the wrong side of that half gauge. Amen. See, things happen when you run out of gas. I already told you this whole book of St. John happens. Most all of it happens within a week. And he's telling them they're going to need it. Now they're in the upper room eating the Passover. By this time, a lot of things have already happened. Are y'all hearing me preach tonight? Judas has already run out of gas. Somebody hear me preach tonight. He's already out. He's already run slap out. He has already, by the time they are eating the Passover in that upper chamber, he has already made a deal and negotiated with the chief priest of how he's going to sell Jesus out. He ran out. He's out. Already, he's out. Peter and Thomas, matter of fact, both of them were running pretty low. Amen. And the other nine weren't really doing so good themselves. It's kind of quiet in here tonight. Maybe someone tonight needs to take a look at your joy gauge. And Jesus says to them, all of you are going to be offended because of me. Peter takes a look at his gauge. Says, not me. Not me, Lord. Though all men forsake thee, I won't. You see, Jesus knew where his fuel gauge was. He sure had some words for him. He said, Peter, before your alarm clock goes off in the morning, Peter, I'm not exactly sure what time it is right now. It's probably later in the evening. Before your alarm clock goes off in the morning, before the rooster crows, you'll deny me thrice. Judas ran out of joy and betrayed Jesus. Peter ran out of joy and denied Jesus. Thomas ran out of joy and doubted Jesus. I want to ask you a question tonight. What will you do when you run out? Amen. Somebody lift your hands. Ask God to help the preacher right now. Amen. I'm doing this specifically on purpose. I'm going to pick up the pace here in just a moment. Maybe God will turn this thing a little bit. Maybe he won't, but it's all right. We're fine right where we're at right now. I want you to stop. I want you to think. If right now from tonight you entered into the trial of your life, something happened you're not expecting, and you couldn't come to church for a long time, how would you like to go out on what you have right now? What if the law was passed and all the churches had to shut down before next weekend or before we had fellowship meeting in a year from now? How would your joy level be? You know, I don't know why is it? You remember I said a few weeks ago, living with the saints in glory, living with the saints above will be glory. Living with the saints below, that's another story. How many know sometimes Christians can be mean? How many know they can say some of the most hurtful things? You know what? We got to learn to deal with that. Just because somebody said something and it come across hurtful, they may not have meant it that way. Come on now. I don't know why it's so quiet here. But you know, the disciples were having some problems among themselves. I mean, they were at each other. They were vindictive at times to each other. They were self-promoting. They wanted to know who was going to sit on the right hand. All kinds of crazy things were going through their mind. Jesus was saying, I want your joy to be full. Praise God. Aren't you so glad he didn't leave him there? Is it all right if I preach to you just for a little bit longer here? Sister Sarah, I don't know. Hope that song will still work. It may not. We may have to get another one. Look, I want you to look at Luke chapter 24. You remember, I'm talking to you now. We've been in the upper room, and Passover's fixing to take place. And by the time I read, we get to where I'm going to read to you tonight in Luke chapter 24 and verse number 50, Jesus has indeed been crucified. He's been raised between heaven and earth. Amen. And now it's about 40 days after his crucifixion where we're reading now. This is Luke chapter 24, verse 50. And he led them out as far as Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Why don't y'all preach with me now for a little while here? And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him. Come on now. And returned to Jerusalem. Somebody say it with me. With great joy. Hallelujah. I believe that would have qualified for full joy. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And we're continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know about you. Just let me use my imagination. But I get a feeling like this. There's a number of times in this 40-day period that different of the disciples have seen Jesus. How many remember some of them he walked with on the Emmaus Road? Some of them was with him when he walked right in where they were, the doors being closed, and he ate a little piece of broil fish, and he showed him his hands and his feet. Amen. They had seen, there had been some sightings, come on now, of the resurrected Savior. Hallelujah. I know their joy was low. I know they were down. I know they were discouraged. I know they thought it was over. Probably a lot of them was wondering if the whole thing was a lie. Amen. But somebody said, we saw him over here. And somebody said, we saw him over here. And somebody said, he showed up over here. And the women saw him over here. And Thomas saw him over here. And they saw him over here on the Emmaus Road. Amen. But this time, it seemed like Jesus just comes and starts walking down the street. Now I'm using my imagination. Somebody says, well, there he is. We've been here and he's been showing up every once in a while. And so somebody starts following him and he starts heading toward Bethany. How many know where I'm reading tonight? He led them out as far as Bethany. And I think as he walked, as it was oft times when he was going places before he was crucified, the throng begin to come around him, and others said it's Jesus, and now there's 20 following him, and they're all saying, hey, it's Jesus, and now there's 30 following him, amen. And somebody's saying, look, why is there a crowd, and now there's 50 following him, amen. How many's with me? By the time they got that Sabbath day's journey all the way out to Bethany, there was 500. Somebody say 500. Are y'all helping me preach tonight? There was 500 people whose joy had been low, but now they're with him, and now they're seeing him, and now they're hearing him. It's been 40 days since the crucifixion. Praise God. But Jesus is now with them. He's talking to them. He's telling them things. But after a while, he lifted up his hands and he blessed them, and they left that place with joy in their heart. They returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Hallelujah. Praise God. You can pick up on that same time, that same setting in Acts chapter 1. When they ask him, will thou at this time restore the kingdom unto Israel? He said, that's not for you to know the time or the seasons. I'm ready for a song. I'm through preaching. Just about. Ooh, hallelujah. Man. I wish y'all was feeling half as good as I am. We'd be having revival right now if y'all. I've already preached myself happy now. Ooh. Oh, thank you, Lord. They're feeling better about the situation now. 500 people saw him. Amen. And they're so happy, Brother Jimmy, they returned to Jerusalem. All the way back, they are just filled with joy. Praise God. Amen. I tell you, some of us that love sanctification and love to talk about that second work, many times, I've read this, don't tell how many times, and I've said, it must have happened right there. If there ever was a place where you could pin it down, where it must have happened, I'm not preaching that for doctrine. The Bible don't say that, but I just think, man, it must have happened right then and there when he lifted up his hands. Those old preachers, a lot of them older brethren preached that way. Billy Horn said, one of his sayings was, he lifted his hands, blessed him, sanctified the whole bunch right there. Praise God. Woo! Well, that sounds good to me. I would you agree with me? Something happened to them. Because they were sad before that. Their joy was low. But now their joy is full. And you know what? Somebody help me preach right now. There was at least 120 of them out of that 500 that their joy was so full that they went to Jerusalem and found an upper room and stayed there. Amen. How many know? They stayed there for 10 days. Man. Come on, sister. I got to quit. Y'all got to sing and I got to quit preaching. Hallelujah. Come on, church. Why don't you stand with me in the house right now? And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house. Somebody say all. All the house where they were sitting, and there appeared to them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all, say it again, all. Amen. Do we believe that all still means all? Do you really think, preacher, that all, every one of them, 120 of them, got the Holy Ghost right then and there? Yes, sir, I believe it. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Their joy was full. Their joy sustained them. Their joy kept them and kept them praising God and drawing water out of that well of salvation. Amen. Until something happened in that room. The presence changed. The atmosphere changed. Something all around them changed. And then all of a sudden there was a fire that set upon each of them. And they all started talking in a language they didn't know. The Spirit of God gave them the utterance. Somebody say praise God. Amen. Do we still believe in the Holy Ghost? Do we believe in the moving of the Holy Ghost? Do we believe in the manifestations and the anointing of the Holy Ghost? Do we believe the gifts of the Spirit are still in operation in our services? Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. I wish somebody give him praise tonight. I wish somebody would lift your hands and your heart and your voice. Amen. And say praise God. I got joy in my heart. I've been low. I've been struggling. I've been having a hard time. I've let some things get in my way. I've let some things discourage me. But tonight I'm in church. I'm going to forget about everything that everybody done or said, whether it was intentional or not, because I need some joy in my heart, and I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. I'm fearing somebody say, preacher, it won't happen tonight. We're not in revival. We're not fellowship meeting. Nobody's going to get the Holy Ghost tonight. Amen. Quit thinking that way. Hallelujah. Man, I tell you what would be great. I don't know about you. I think I'd like to get a refilling tonight. I wonder if every one of us is claiming the baptism of the Holy Ghost, if we all got a refilling of it. Huh? What would happen if every one of us that say we have it would check our gauge and say, well, I got it way back there a long time ago, but boy, I've went through some stuff. Boy, I've had some problems. I've had some trials. I don't know. It may be just a little low. Why don't you just go ahead tonight and pay the price and go ahead and fill up. Don't roll up and just get a couple dollars worth when you have a little more time and maybe a little more green stuff in your pocket. You'll fill up next time. Why don't you just go ahead and do it tonight? Thank you, Lord. Oh, I feel God moving in here. How many people have I talked to that's not saved? When they got filled with the joy of the Lord, they didn't even realize they were missing something in there. They didn't realize how hungry, how lonely, how separated, how far away they were. Woo! Man, oh, hallelujah. Oh, I wish I could help somebody tonight. Brother Curly Mayfield, I heard people talk about when that boy his got saved. He was an adult and had been away from God for a long time. Brother Curly and Sister Grace had prayed and fasted and requested prayer and held on and prayed for him. And he was just an ornery fella and in trouble, always causing them heartache. They got in that good revival. Jerry come and got saved. And they said, when he looked up, first thing he said to his dad was, "Why didn't you tell me it was this good?" "Son, I've been trying to tell you this your whole life. I don't understand why people are satisfied to make it on less when they can have more. Satisfied to make it with heartache and brokenness and disappointment and failures and when they could have joy." Hallelujah. Somebody say it with me tonight. I got joy. Oh, I'm trying to talk you into it even if you don't. We ought to go ahead and say it. Let the weak say I'm strong. Let the empty say I'm full. Praise God. Amen. Speak some of that word right into your life. Claim the promises. We claim the baptism. We claim the experience. But oh God, I want to be filled with it again. Amen. If I can't entice you, if I can't encourage you, amen, to want to really get it, amen, and really get filled with it, I really have my doubts. Kind of having my doubts you ever got it in the first place. Man, I tell you, it's so good when you get it. You want to get refilled with it. Man, don't let the devil beat you out any longer. Come on, y'all sing. These altars are open. Somebody wants to come seek God. Maybe somebody wants special prayer. I don't really know what else to do. I preach my heart to you tonight. I know God wants our joy to be full. Hallelujah. Worship God in spirit and in truth. Let Him have His way.